Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. Every morning, they're first to step in the ring. This is Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. On your Friday, we are,
what, now a week away from Christmas Day?
Super.
Or a week away from Christmas?
No, this is
six days.
Well,
week away from
Boxing Day. Yeah. We're a week out from Boxing Day. So Christmas Eve next week. It's exciting. It's the kids' last day of school, so the Brady household is hopping.
What, today?
Children's get, yeah.
Oh, and
it'll make them go next
and
week.
And they're not doing anything today.
Not doing jack. No,
oh, no.
I think they... They got called to the gym yesterday to watch the teenage students, as my 6-year-old described them. So I'm guessing the grade 7s and 8s volleyball team play a teacher's volleyball team. And I'm like, how long did it go on? He's like, it was the first team to win 3 games. I'm like, that's like an hour and a half. That's an Olympic match. No wonder the teachers are like, God, that only gets us till 12:45. What do we do after that?
But like, who mails it in more? I know teachers want to teach. They want to mold young minds.
Yeah, my parents are both teachers. They were tapped out by December
5th. Yeah, I mean.
It was all licking the stamp. It was, they were finished. See, at least on a Friday. I always think this on a Friday. I don't know if we're the better show than any other show on this station the other 4 days, but I do think we bring it a bit more Friday. No. But I think we bring it more Friday morning. You imagine doing Friday at 4 p.m. It's tumbleweeds blowing through here. Friday at 2 p.m. It's like, let's trot out, you know what I mean? You're not exactly breaking new ground. You're not breaking rocks in the mines or anything like that. After Friday about 2 o'clock, and especially on a day like this, like we're going to be into next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're doing shows. So I don't want people, I heard this guy say to me yesterday, I really like your show, but I go to work and I don't have enough time to listen to it. Well, next week he's off and now he does. I go, we'll be on for 3 days next week. Fill your boots. Get up at 5:30.
That would be an elite listener getting up on Christmas vacation at 5:30
on the morning of the 24th.
Oh, hey, we still have like Leaf tickets and stuff like that to give away. So.
Tons. And today, day 9 of the 12 days of Christmas, we have Leafs tickets for every game in January, every home game in January. We give a pair away for each of those games today.
Yeah, there's what, at least 4 or 5 home games in January.
There's only the one.
You're right, yeah. They're on the road all month. This is we are in a hockey mad type of city. This is maybe the best prize we give away. To some people.
Capitals Wednesday, January 7th. Blue Jackets Friday, January 9th. Hurricanes Monday, January 19th. Look, we said it was pretty good, okay? No. And the Coyotes are here on Thursday, January 29th. They weirdly don't play a Saturday home game. Even after the World Juniors are over, they're in Philadelphia on January 31st, Super Bowl weekend. That's very strange that they're not here the 24th or 31st, but they're not.
We promise you won't mail it in. Leafs kind of mailed it in last night. They thought it was going to be an easy 2 points in Raleigh, North Carolina. Turns out it wasn't. A 4-1 loss. So one more home game now for Toronto. And then you got that 7-game road trip that coincides with the World Juniors here at the ACC. Something a lot of people will be looking into. Raptors and Celtics tonight as well. We've got the game on the air. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Meeting at 7:30. It is Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas.
5:42, Brady and Walker, good morning. Coming up in a few minutes, we got, I did not get it. You forwarded it to me. You got an email, Greg, with one of these, I guess, what is it, a media junket offer? It's very bizarre.
Some of them are usually crap, right? Like,
right.
9 out of 10 of them are like,
well, they beg you to come.
Come have a couple glasses of whiskey as we debut some art gallery collection. You're like, I'm not doing that. You're trying to use me. That's what you're trying to do. You want publicity. This one's a little bit different. Yeah, we'll get to that in a few minutes. I'm doubling back and finding it right now. But I showed it to you, and you thought, At first, we thought this looked a little bit like a Nigerian prince wanting a
right,
a loan taken out, and then he'll pay you later, 3 or 4 months later, as a matter of fact. But it's legit. It's too legit to quit.
I will admit, I thought more about this email last night than I did about the NFL Thursday Nighter. I did not watch one snap. Not one.
I came across it a couple times.
I know. I didn't. And I... Listen, I'm a degenerate. I'll gamble on anything. I'll gamble on.
Is it
whether
even possible
a gopher can cross the road? I really will.
I heard our friend Mike Shope on the radio yesterday from Buffalo, and he was mentioning that he was in the fantasy football final of his league, and he was going to have to. He didn't want to go with Eli Manning, and the Giants are in St. Louis, and there was another quarterback he didn't want to go with, so he was thinking about picking up RG3 or. Blake Bortles. can you imagine a fantasy waiver wire pickup, which is kind of wrong anyway? It's not like there's some player sitting out there before the Stanley Cup Finals or NBA Finals start and a team can add it. But in fantasy football, you can grab somebody on a Wednesday, get them in your lineup, quote unquote, on a Thursday, and you're rolling. But so,
yeah, generally it's nobody good.
The only thing I thought of is are there keeper leagues or something where somebody is in a fantasy football final and they've got Blake Bortles? Right?
No,
or the Tennessee defense.
There's no, yes, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe a defense.
Okay.
Maybe somebody had Bishop Sankey as like their third best running back in a deep league. I don't know.
So it gives you a reason it gives you motivation to watch last night.
Sure. If you had a Jag or a Titan.
Right.
And nobody does. Maybe you had Delanie Walker. Maybe. As your tight end. That's the only thing.
That's about it.
Nobody started Blake Bortles.
So unless you bet on the game, period, like even if you're in a pool league, you're not. It's one of 15 games. It's one of 16 games this weekend. There's two tomorrow on Saturday. You don't need that result to clinch it. Like I even understand watching on a Monday night. Hey, you Tennessee wins, you win the pool. I wouldn't get watching on a Thursday night when you're gonna go 1-0 or 0-1. I don't get it.
Now.
We'll see what the ratings will be fascinating. Like it'll be some baseball playoff games.
Yeah.
It'll be some NBA conference final games, and it'll be like, what is wrong with? But the Pro Bowl does that. The Pro Bowl beats baseball playoff games.
But even the game last Thursday, I mean, that game was awful, right? More people were watching that one, but there was no touchdowns. It was 12-6 for Arizona over St. Louis. The Cardinals really needed to win that one. This was a 2-win team against a 2-win team.
Yeah.
You can't get worse.
And Tennessee leading 10-0, then they lost it. Do you even care about the details? But Jacksonville won.
Yeah, it was 21-13 or something.
So Tennessee might be that team. Like, Randall the Handle, while you were sick yesterday, Randall the Handle was on with me, and we said, you know, if Jacksonville got first overall, they might trade. We haven't seen a team trade a number one overall pick except that strange Eli Manning won't go to San Diego, so it's Eli Manning for Phillip Rivers with the Giants. But Jacksonville might be very receptive to now, and now it's not a non-factor because they've won three games. Someone's finishing 2-14 among the Raiders, the Buccaneers, the Titans. Someone's
right.
Finishing down.
Raiders are the worst team in football. Do they have the worst record when it's all said and done? Yeah, who knows?
All right, so I found the email.
Yeah, tell me about this email.
Ryan Favre will be in for now and then in a little bit. Maybe he's a good candidate to this, but I see this email right away and it says Popeye Bowl press release. I'm like, what is there another CIS game after the Vanier Cup? What's going on here?
I'm surprised you opened it, to be honest.
It could have been a virus. The government of the Bahamas invites you to spend Christmas Eve in the Bahamas. Okay, you got my attention. You're cordially invited to attend the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl in Nassau, Bahamas on December 24th, 2014. Oh my God, that's next Wednesday. Guests will depart their U.S. gateway on December 23rd. And return on December 25th, 2014. Just enough time for turkey on the night of next Wednesday.
So we'd have to go down to, say, Buffalo, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
so we have to,
great airport. Yeah.
Yeah, go to Buffalo and a free flight to the Bahamas. But what game is this? What game are we covering?
let's say the Bahamas Bowl will feature a Conference USA team. I'm trying to find it. Against Central Michigan is one of the teams.
So my first idea, it's like, okay, if someone's going to take advantage of this, we're obviously not doing anything remotely covering this awful bowl game.
What they
but could we sneak in and go to the Bahamas for
free. That's what I'm talking about. The NCAA postseason bowl game promotes the islands of the Bahamas and offers educational athletic opportunities to the youth of the Bahamas. Guest media are requested to provide journalists who write for relevant sports and travel-related media. Journalists must have a letter of commitment from the editor. We can get our boss to sign off on
that. They don't trust people at all.
Provide timeline when your piece on Popeye's Bahamas Bowl will be published. We could get... Look at some of the stuff that's on Sportsnet590.ca. Are you kidding me? We can write 1,000 words on the Central Michigan, Western Kentucky offensive line, defensive line matchup.
Sure.
So I can't go because I have I have commitments and family and all that. But you... Now, your girlfriend's leaving you alone over the Christmas holidays.
She's going home.
And you're not. So you could conceivably write this woman back today and go, I'm in. You want some Canadian representation for the Popeye's Bahamas Bowl? That's me. I'm your man.
I could conceivably do this, yes. Yes. I am alone. I have very little in my life.
So let's put your name in and let's see if it gets accepted. And then you got a big call to make next Tuesday morning.
Here's the trouble, though, because if I'm going to go, if I drive down to Buffalo and hop my free flight and go to
Nassau,
my free island
and
my free hotel and everything.
I don't think they make you wear a lei or a Hawaiian shirt. I don't know, maybe they do.
I might not make it back, and I'm not going to do anything with the game. I'm going to get there, wave bye-bye, and go to the beach.
That's the thing. What are they going to do? If you don't show up at the game, they're not going to knock on your door, put you in cuffs.
I don't know.
Throw you in some...
Will they not allow me back on the private jet back?
You're not going to be Kate Beckinsale in Broke Down Palace. They're not going to throw you in the gulag in Nassau in the Bahamas. You can stay on the beach and keep ordering beers and Coronas and things.
It's too risky. I feel like I'm going to wake up in the tub and my liver is going to be gone. I don't know. I could conceivably do it, though.
Yeah.
We should send...
Here's your roommate, the Gimp.
Our morning audio editor is Brent Gunning. We should make him go.
Yeah, he doesn't... Yeah.
He'd go. He'd go for the show.
Very, very possible. There's a couple clips from yesterday's primetime sports he's got to work on. Just kind of trim down a little bit.
We should get
those interviews down to 17 minutes or so.
Let's talk about this later. I won't rule it out.
Okay.
I won't rule it out, but I'm nervous.
Should Walker go to the Bahamas? I think if it's overwhelming from the people got to speak sometimes about the kind of show we run here. So if at 590-590 or on Twitter, Fan590 Walker, Brady Fan590, if they're telling you to go, you should go. You got the clothes for it. Maybe there's a media game, like a media touch football game on the beach beforehand. What could go wrong?
Yeah, there's a lot that could go wrong. That's the problem. 551, Ryan Fabro is in our producer with Now and Then.
Now and Then. A hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history. I'll be back in
time. Fabro, do you want to go as a backup in case, Walker's passport gets rejected or something like that?
Kind of a family, you know?
No, but you're back. You'll be back 8 o'clock on the night of the 25th. If your shopping's done, you're not the turkey cooking type. You can't help
it. What am I going to do down there?
You're missing all of Christmas Eve, though. That's a lot of people, that's the bigger day.
Only bad things can happen. You'll be like,
things can happen.
What's the best thing that could happen? You get a tan?
You sleep with Gene Triplehorn, like Tom Cruise did in The Firm. You go down for a quick vacation. You do something stupid. I don't want to do that.
Worst thing, although you sleep with Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. Triplehorn was hot back in the day. Anyway, December the 19th. Stuff that happened. 1984, Scotty Bowman becomes hockey's most winningest coach. Can you name other guys on the list? Bowman's still...
Al Arbor has a lot of wins.
He's two. Who's three? Current coach.
That's...
Mike Babcock?
No, it can't be that high. Babcock might be scraping the top 10. Ken Hitchcock.
Oh, yeah.
No, he's...
No? Lindy Ruff.
No.
But yes, what? Of course.
He's not in the top 10. Brian Murray's in the top 10. Mike Keane's in the top 10.
The guy you're missing is Joel Quenneville.
Oh, yeah.
Been around for so...
Third in all-time wins by a coach.
He has more wins than Ken Hitchcock. I find that hard to believe.
Are you looking at playoff wins?
Well, look at it. He's been around for a long time. His St. Louis Blues teams always won. He just didn't win in the playoffs,
in Colorado.
Right? Regular season wins. That regular season, he was great for years, right? And then he had Roman Turek in net
and stuff. Yeah, he's right. 728.
Right?
It's incredible.
Ken Hitchcock's on the list. Ron Wilson's 8th. Yeah. Just ahead of Lindy Ruff.
Saw a report yesterday. Someone says the Oilers should hire Ron Wilson.
be fun. Brady would like that.
Brady loves Ron Wilson, does he? Because he's American, he no longer coaches.
You know,
the
he's
Leafs.
Born in Windsor, Ontario. I think that's a big factor. Okay, what else? 1940, same date. Career point 1,000 for Gretzky. He was only 23 at the time.
That's incredible.
Incredible.
How old? He's like Kadri's age.
I was at a really great age for Gretzky being great because I was like 9 or 10 when he was putting up 215 point seasons.
I'm jealous of that.
It was marvelous. It really was.
I know. I saw Lemieux's peak. Lemieux was always like better to me because he was playing better than Gretzky when I was a kid.
I guess a 10-year-old feels that way about Crosby now. I guess he does, but it's still you're going, it's 130 points.
There was a danger though too. I have a bunch of like uncles and cousins in Edmonton that are in their 40s and 50s, and they really lost a big luster for going to hockey games because they saw all those Gretzky moments, like the 15-39 and the cups, and they're like, what? It's not going to get better than this.
No.
What, am I going to go watch Boyd Devereaux and Doug Waite now? I don't know.
Awesome. Porkoff's in the lineup tonight. No one says that.
I watched
that.
Gretzky and Messier for a decade.
Seth McTavish. Nice contract. And number one movie, 20 years ago, the Good Dumb and Dumber movie. Number one.
Man. Yeah, is that like a Christmas?
You are one pathetic loser.
Is that a Christmas release? Really?
I guess so. I don't recall
it. I thought that was a summertime movie. I saw it in theaters in the summer.
Wikipedia never lies.
I know it doesn't.
Right?
Yeah, you know that website where everyone can write anything on any subject?
True. It's my favorite website. Well, second favorite. But anyway.
I know what your favorite is.
And happy birthday to Matt Stajan. How old is Matt Stajan today, Walker?
Matt Stajan would be a 33 years old.
Incorrect.
I think 32.
31 is correct answer.
I have.
And the number one song from 1964.
Uh-huh.
Getting you set for tonight's Primetime Sports Roundtable, Bob
Don't
McCown.
Do it.
4 p.m. time. The Supremes with Come See About Me.
Oh, my heavens. I remember when Bob had them in studio. And you know that Florence Ballard? Oh, my heavens. She was like Kelly Rowland in Destiny's
fiction.
Child back in the day.
It's all fiction.
That's
5:55, Brady and Walker. Leafs, they fall flat.
John Shannon kept interrupting
her. Night.
He did.
What happened in North Carolina? We'll get into it. And have we come around a little bit on one Randy Carlyle? Brady and Walker, all that ahead. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Come on, boy.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. The Raptors take out the Nets.
Toronto with the steal. 2-on-1. Lowry drive.
Brady and Walker. Yeah, Raptors did beat the Nets. That was a couple nights ago.
We're still happy that they did.
Oh,
I'm not disappointed that they didn't lose, I think.
Raptors in Detroit taking on the Pistons tonight. That's a game that we'll have for you right here. Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 7:30. But last night, it was a dud. No other way to put it. The Toronto Maple Leafs go into Carolina and lose 4-1. There's been a lot of wins lately, Greg, and so I'm sure there are some people that so badly want to overreact to a road loss against a pretty lousy team.
Yeah, I think you can properly react and say, maybe they just got out of a routine. Their road game last week in Detroit wasn't much better. In fact, it might have been worse.
It was probably
and
worse.
And James Reimer's goaltending was the difference in getting points out of there. So yeah, it's been a couple road games in a row, and they haven't played them with any regularity, and naturally, because it's Carolina, what I don't think is fair is to say, well, the Leafs played, how do I put it, the Leafs didn't play well in the least, and they got better than, they didn't get great goaltending, but I think to pin this on Carolina and go, well, they're a terrible team, I still think it's the NHL, and if you don't play well, and you're in somebody else's place, and you haven't gotten into that road routine, I don't think it's some embarrassment losing to Carolina. You should worry a bit more about your own play. They'll come back, play Philadelphia at home tomorrow. What we've said all year, Andrew, is there hasn't been when there's been a bad loss, the only true game that they followed up bad game with bad game was the famous Buffalo-Nashville follow-up, right? That's the only time that I've looked and said, I want to see a little bit more the next game, whether it's a win, a loss, an overtime loss, whatever. So tomorrow's kind of key for me to see where it goes, because they got to go to Chicago on Thursday, on Sunday night. And hey, if they're waking up Monday morning and we're talking a three game losing streak, then we got a conversation, but not yet.
One of the more interesting games this season for Toronto to me was that bounce back game last Saturday as Detroit was in town, because as we all remember, the Thursday night in Detroit was really ugly. They still won, but they played terribly and had to be bailed out by James Reimer. They did bounce back in a big way. It was maybe their best game of the season the next night. So, yeah, I'm intrigued to see what we get on Saturday. But, hey, you got to remember, right? You have a bad day at work. I mean, we'll have, not very often, but we'll have a bad show here and there. And you'll go in, you won't be feeling it at your office on a Tuesday or a Thursday. Last night was one of those games to me. 5 minutes in. I had that feeling that this is the way it was going. They were a half step slow. They were losing races to the puck. Yeah, they weren't throwing it up the middle like a grenade on the stick of a forecheck or anything like that. But you knew right from the outset of this game that for whatever reason, as a collective, Toronto just didn't have it.
Found 11 teams out of 30 that have not lost three games in a row and with no points, and the Leafs are one of them. And they've always been able to fall up. They had a bit of a dud against the Devils at home a couple Thursdays ago. What'd they do? They wiped Vancouver out. Yeah. I mean, they chased Ryan Miller very early on in that game. When they had the two losses to start the season, they go into Madison Square Garden and pound the Rangers. So every time it's sort of happened that we thought maybe there's a bit of a storm coming, a storm brewing, it's not the case, and they find a way to respond. So that's how it's been.
Here we are, past a third of the way through the season, not quite at a half, and the Leafs are sitting fairly pretty. And I was thinking about Randy Carlyle a little bit last night and where our current viewpoint, our status is on the Leafs head coach. Has it changed at all for you?
In that he has obviously adapted and evolved. So you got this scenario where I don't think you'd even consider, there's nothing that could see him sent out the door in this regular season. But I do think they'll reevaluate the position at the end of the year. Every single coach has a shelf life. I think we all know now, maybe more so, Andrew, than anything else, we know that if the Leafs somehow don't make the playoffs this year, we know he won't be back next year. We were pretty sure that this might have been his last year, and we all would have come in the next morning or previewed it that day on the air and said, it makes sense. It's not a lot of coaches are going to, no matter what they've got on their resume, are going to survive losing 13 out of their last 15 and swirling the drain. And then also just basically saying, I don't have any answers. Sometimes what you say and how your team plays, when you combine the two, it's just as problematic. But do I think he's coaching smarter and better? I do. I've not liked a lot of the caricatures about what Carlisle is and what Carlisle isn't. You don't ascend to where you are without being having some strong hockey acumen. He just views it differently, I think, in 2013, 2014, than other coaches do. Everybody's got a different approach and a different philosophy, and his is a little bit older school, but he's adapted this year.
Like, if I'm starting an expansion team tomorrow, I'm not throwing a boatload of money at Randy Carlisle. He's not my coach. And like you, if I am Brendan Shanahan after last season and the collapse down the stretch, no, I'm bullet or no bullet, I'm not bringing back Randy Carlisle. That said, I mean, I'm not going to say I'm completely over the moon on the guy, but you have to take a step back and say he's done a nice job this season. Whether or not you love him as a head coach, he's done a nice job. Now, how much of that is on Steve Spott and Peter Horacek? I think they've helped, right? I think there's been that change there. I think there's been more of a directive of up top. Colton Orr and Fraser McLaren are out, and the fourth line can play a little bit. And, hey, they go out and they get him some help as well. Richard Ponick comes in, and Mike Santarelli seems to be a reliable guy. And maybe Randy Carlisle a year ago, I mean, people criticize him because he really liked Bozak and he really liked Jay McClement. But he didn't have the guys he felt he could rely on as a head coach, and that's a big, big thing.
So, and maybe a Peter Holland, who he sat, who shuttled back and forth after trading a second-round pick for him. Maybe 12 months later, there's more of a trust factor. I just know it was frustrating to watch Peter Holland play behind Trevor Smith and Jared Smithson and Troy Bodhi and other forwards. I know that.
Yeah, but there's also, there's no guarantee that if Peter Holland last year is playing the minutes he's playing now, that he's just as good of a player. A lot of people will tell you his big wake-up call, or the moment where he kind of started to figure it out, was when he went down to the Marlies last year at the end of the season and helped lead them to the conference finals.
Yeah. No, he's Randy Carlisle's in a much safer spot. We've had two NHL coaches fired. We may even get a couple more even before the All-Star break. But Randy Carlisle's not going to be one of them.
609, Brady and Walker. We do have a Toronto-Philadelphia tickets to give away to you. Actually, it's for next week as Washington comes in January. Clue number one coming up in about 5 minutes. First, let's get you what you need to know.
This is your Friday morning six pack. Six things you need to start your day.
All right, number six, what you need to know today. Our 12 Fantastic Days of Christmas contest continues on Brady and Walker. And for a lot of people, today might be your most favorite prize, I would think.
Yeah, we're going to give you a pair of tickets to four Maple Leaf home games in January. You know, we wish they played eight because the prize was every game in January. But we've got four games: Capitals, Blue Jackets, Hurricanes, Coyotes. It's eight tickets spanning four nights, and they're yours potentially at 8:30, all for just signing up for this contest in the fan club at sportsnet590.ca. Monday's prize is great, too. We're doing shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through and through Christmas Eve. It's that VIP ball game experience at Rogers Center. So that's Monday's prize. So Leafs today. And head into the Rogers Center with us on Monday.
Yeah, and again, real easy to get your name entered in all these. Just go to the website, sportsnet590.ca, sign up for the fan club. All right, number five, NFL Thursday Nighter. I'm not sure if it was worse than last week's matchup between St. Louis and Arizona. Who's kidding you? Of course it was. Charlie Whitehurst outsucked Blake Bortles. Jags topped the Titans 21-13.
Yeah, not much to say. Tennessee will play out the string. They've been a really irrelevant team for a long time. After having a real run, I mean, in the Steve McNair era, where you cared about them and you wanted to see them in big games, and you knew they'd make the playoffs, but they started the season 2-4. They won at Arrowhead 26-10 against the Chiefs opening weekend. And maybe we thought that's a 7-8-9 win team. Maybe that's a flirty playoff team. In December, they'll host the Indy Colts and Andrew Luck, who may not have much to play for. Next Sunday to see if they can go 2-14.
Number four, Canada's World Junior squad gets its first taste of international action as they take on Russia tonight at the ACC. Canada currently 25 in the roster. They'll need to be down to 22 by Christmas Day. And, of course, yesterday the Ottawa Senators announced that Curtis Lazar will be loaned to the team. He has a good chance to wear the C for this club.
So they take 13 forwards. They've got 16 on it right now, and there's even talk, pretty strong talk, that Freddie Gauthier, who's the Leafs' number one pick, very much on that bubble because they've been able to add Duclair and they've been able to add Lazar, and McDavid healthy is obviously going to play on that top line. So very difficult for Rimouski's Freddie Gauthier to maybe make this team and even be part of this.
Number three, Raptors game tonight. It's right here, Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 7:30 as they visit the Detroit Pistons. But a big trade in the NBA last night. Rajon Rondo moves from Boston to the Dallas Mavericks for three players and two draft picks, including a first rounder. So now, do the Mavericks potentially have the best starting five in basketball? You're looking at Rondo, Nowitzki, Monte Ellis, Chandler Parsons, and Tyson Chandler.
They're real close. I think they played Golden State about a week and a half ago, and that backcourt of Klay Thompson and Steph Curry kind of overran Dallas. Well, game changer to add Rajon Rondo to your roster. And Rick Carlisle, very tough on point guards, the Mavs head coach, but the West is so loaded. We've said this. I can't
it's
think
so
of a
loaded.
You're going to have amazing first-round playoff matchups and really good players, even the last few years, like the Clippers, like Golden State. They can't get out of the first or second round in this conference.
Number two, more NFL. Jay Cutler benched as quarterback of the Chicago Bears after going 5-9 this season. Now, there's a lot of reports saying Mark Trestman is out at the end of the year, so he kind of throws one last screw you to everybody for screwing him over. So Jimmy Clausen is going to start on Sunday against Detroit. The number one thing you need to know, Leafs lose 4-1 in Carolina. The winning streak comes to an end at 6. Yeah, there's going to be, Greg, some very interested people in how this team plays on the road. You don't have to be unbelievable, but your last two road games have been duds, and coming up very shortly after Philly on Saturday, a stretch of seven road games in a row over the next few weeks.
Yeah, they got that Florida trip even next weekend. Sunday night against the Panthers after Christmas, and then the very next night against the Lightning, both those games on Sportsnet. And yet they've played really well in Florida. Where they haven't played necessarily well are places like Chicago, like Minnesota, like Winnipeg. It's been tough to get wins out of Winnipeg since the Jets have come back.
We want to send you to the ACC next week or next month as the Toronto Maple Leafs take on the Washington Capitals. So we do have some tickets courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino with a $50 gift card as well to Great Blue Heron. Name us that mystery player. Clues throughout the morning. Here is your first clue. He finished his career in Toronto, but spent the bulk of it in Vancouver. Your next clue is coming up at 7:14 this morning.
So it's 6:22, a stacked NFL playoff race. Lots of big games. You got to weed through them to find the ones that are meaningful. And we'll try and relate Jay Cutler to your workplace. You probably work with a Jay Cutler. We'll explain that coming up in about 7 minutes.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning, 6:23, Brady and Walker. Last night on Sportsnet, the NFL Thursday Nighter. Thank God there was a Leafs game on, I will say that.
They didn't black it out. And where were the North Koreans when we needed them to really block the programming that's detrimental to our youth?
Yeah, Tennessee-Jacksonville. I don't know how this game, I don't know how it made its way on its schedule. I guess Thursday is not as vital as Monday, I get it. But you had a couple of two-win teams last night.
Well, they obviously have CBS and NFL Network have no power to get out of the Thursday games. We know, like, even next week.
Right, you can't flex.
We don't know who the Sunday night game is. We could have a great, the one that leaps off the page is probably Detroit at Green Bay. That might be for all the marbles, a bye week, the division title in the NFC North. So they'll shove that game on at 8 o'clock. But next week there is no Thursday night game. All the games are on Sunday, so that in case you're going to the playoffs, you got a fair shake. They were handcuffed last night, and you either show it or you have to show it. And I'm even watching people in the stands at Jacksonville going, what are you people getting out of this? Maybe free drinks in a suite, but man, it's asking a lot. At least it's good weather. You wouldn't sit there in the cold and watch 2-2-12 teams, put it that way.
The Chicago Bears, interesting in their own right these days. Now, they're not the greatest team, but at 5 wins, they're still fascinating to watch because they can explode on you both for the bad and the good. And it happened again yesterday as Mark Trestman of a CFL fame, of course, decides that Jay Cutler is no longer his guy and announces that Cutler will sit and Jimmy Clausen will instead start.
I mean, I've got thoughts on Trestman, but let's start with Cutler and whether or not. Because I kind of looked at his whole career trajectory, and it's not like Denver gave up on him. Denver traded him because they did want to make a move in different directions and get pieces for other needs. They were bringing in Josh McDaniel at the time. McDaniel and Cutler kind of clashed. But one stat that leaps off the page at me with Cutler, Andrew, and you tell me if this makes any sense. We know he can produce offensively. What he needs to do, he's got two major issues that everybody knows. He has been turnover prone. He throws too many picks and he makes mistakes.
He leads the league in picks this year.
He leads the league in picks. But that said, he's also seventh in touchdown passes. You can't look at him and go, well, that's not a guy that can move the offense. He does move the offense. He has to eliminate the mistakes. He's got as many touchdown passes as Tony Romo. He's got more than Phillip Rivers or Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco or Ryan Tannehill or Matthew Stafford or Alex Smith. I can keep going. Russell Wilson. But what he has to do is eliminate the turnovers. Now, what I don't know is whether he can lead. And this is like in our industry, in sales, in teaching, in law, in any, a lot of people have talent. I don't even know that talent is, you can't hire people without talent in certain jobs, but you can't stay with them if that's all they have. You know, you got to move off talent at some point if there isn't maturation and progress and responsibility. And in his position, leadership. And I'm the first to say, like, I don't know that I overrated his skills. I still think he's got the same damn skills. But like, unlike Ben Roethlisberger, his teammates don't seem to rally around him. Unlike Ben Roethlisberger, and I'm comparing him to a two-time Super Bowl winner, he throws 10 extra interceptions a year at the worst time. But beyond that, you can't teach his arm. You can't teach that the way he drops back and gets out of coverage. So I think there's something there, but a lot of this is going to be on him, whether he makes it somewhere else or not. This isn't a guy you give up on, but you've got some question as to whether you bring him into your environment. I think a real experimental team like Buffalo has to look. But a team that's right on the edge of the Super Bowl, they're staying miles away from Jay Cutler. They are.
There is this big debate, right, in sports of what leadership means. And call me more old school. I'm a big believer in it. I don't think that when you're on the field or on the ice or on the court, everything can be boiled down to height, weight, and advanced statistics. I don't. But I think that, I mean, is Alex Semin a more talented winger than Justin Williams? Of course he is. Of course he is. Yeah. But who would you rather have on your team? 30 NHL GMs will tell you the same name.
Yeah,
30.
You know who's got the physical skills of Andrew Luck? Ryan Leaf did.
Sure.
Ryan Leaf had the exact same skills. I mean, I'm telling you, both Pac-10 guys, same body, same arm, same everything. They're just massively different in terms of intelligence, acumen, leadership, character. So you're right. A lot of the problems with the stats guys, right, is there's no stat for character, and we can overdo it. Of course we can, about what heart is and what leadership is, and guys who look like they care and guys who don't. But your quarterback has to raise his
game. It's the one position in sports. Maybe point guard is the other
you
one.
You got to really believe in your guy. Yeah. If you're, there's no question. Ask any Seattle Seahawk or Indy Colt. Andrew Luck's 10 years younger than a lot of these guys, and he's yelling at them going, no, you need to do this, and you better respond. I don't think Jay Cutler has that presence, but I'm not it's probably still too early to absolutely give up. They're going to get an asset back for Jay Cutler, who's 31 years old and can still put together, I think, three, maybe four really good quarterbacking years.
Not a great asset, though.
Like, no, not a great asset.
They're going to get a
third-round pick,
yeah,
probably.
They're going to get a third-round pick, and he makes a ton of dough. But aren't you concerned about that, though? Obviously, Jay Cutler is a skill upgrade for, say, the Buffalo Bills. We had Joe Biscaley on earlier this week or last week, and he's a guy that's right at the front saying the Bills need to go after some semblance of a good quarterback, and maybe that's it. But are you not really concerned that this guy's now worn out his welcome in two cities?
But when you've tried so hard to get it right, look at even Cleveland. Like, we watched Johnny Manziel last week. They could have played that game for 85 minutes instead of 60, and they're not scoring a touchdown. And Brian Hoyer, that had that up-and-down game against Indianapolis, he had an up-and-down game against Baltimore. Is a Jay Cutler Cleveland Browns team 7-7? No. But I don't know if they're 8-6 or 9-5 or 10. I don't know, but there's an awful lot around whoever the quarterback is in Cleveland that a very good quarterback can work with. Hey, listen, if Jay Cutler goes to the Houston Texans, right, with their defense, and you can hand the ball off to Arian Foster and you can chuck the ball up to Andre Johnson, that's pretty promising also. They don't have that guy. They've never had that guy in Houston. They've never, Matt Schaub, please, they've never had as talented a quarterback as Jay Cutler, but it's what's between the ears, and I don't know if that'll improve or not. I'd like to think it can, but who's going to guarantee that? You're right.
Jason Lackenford joins us at 7:42 this morning. So you look at the NFL schedule this weekend, and there are, well, not a slew, but there's at least a few must-win games out here. One of them is certainly for the Dallas Cowboys, probably the biggest game of the week, as they take on the Indianapolis Colts. They might not have a 100% DeMarco Murray for this game, but with the soft schedule coming up for the Philadelphia Eagles, they get to Washington and the Giants, their last two. Dallas has to find a way to win this football game.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean quite as much for Indy. It can if someone, New England or Denver, has to stumble in the last game or the last couple games, and but otherwise Indy's going to get locked into that three seed. They'll play opening weekend, and they'll play probably a 10-6 wild card team. The one game that intrigues me has to still be, and we didn't talk about Arizona and Drew Stanton's injury on Thursday night because I was away, but with the Arizona Cardinals, where do you lump expectations in for them? They host Seattle. It's a night game. And with Carson Palmer, who was unbeaten all season long, and the Cards are 7-0 at home, Do you think expectations are super low for Arizona? And not even in that game, but just making the playoffs. Like, they're going to be, they probably will be the wild card team that goes to the NFC South winner, right? New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta. And I, Drew Brees and the Saints, even though they're going to be 11-5 or 12-4.
I don't know. I can't tell what to think about this team, who obviously do not have their grade-A quarterback in, for sure.
And like, yet they've won their last two games.
Yes, and that's the thing. And the defense is so undeniable. They play so well at home. I mean, do people expect Seattle to go in there and win 35-3? I don't. I'm a little intrigued by... This is a club that always seems to... It's the sum of the parts, right? Like, did we really think, oh, they were 9-0 because of Carson Palmer? He wasn't the reason they were 9-0.
But they were a Super Bowl. They felt a Super Bowl contender to make it there, right? And the Super Bowl is in Arizona this year. They were a Super Bowl contender because of Carson Palmer. They remind me of the Texans team 3 seasons ago that had Matt Schaub get hurt. Then they brought in Matt Leinart, and he got hurt, and they kind of rolled with TJ Yates.
Yeah.
But they still won a playoff game. They still were, and they almost beat the Baltimore team that went to the conference final in Baltimore. That game.
I just feel that people buried the Arizona Cardinals 7 weeks ago.
I know. And
and they're still leading the division, and they still have the best record in football.
I know. And I'm not the guy that's actually going to do it. I thought there'd be some fall off when Carson Palmer was injured. And now, don't forget, they go to San Francisco. It's going to be Jim Harbaugh's last game. Who knows? That's either going to be a really focused 49ers team next week, or it's going to be really scattered. But I don't think you think or I think that they're gonna beat Seattle. Well, the question is, how much of a fight are they going to put up against the Seahawks? Because Seattle's doing that thing that a lot of Super Bowl teams don't do. Do Super Bowl defending champs looking really good in December, looking really strong in December. I know the Pack looked great 3 years ago when they were 15-1, and we all thought they could make it back. But let's face it, we're 11 years on the hop of teams not being able to go back and defend that title. Maybe Seattle's that team.
Raptors on the road in Detroit tonight. We've got the game for you, 7:30, right here at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So the Raptors are 20-6, and obviously tops in the Eastern Conference. You look at the West, and a team like the Dallas Mavericks, they're 19-8, and they sit sixth. And yesterday they have to go out and trade for Rondo, which they do, and all of a sudden they're a contender again. Take the Raptors and parachute them in the Western Conference. Where do they land?
It's tough, eh? Because they're 7-2 against the West. And they've already had a 3-game Western road trip where they played well. Obviously, the Lakers game could have gone the other way. Now, they beat a 7-19 Utah team. And who else did they beat? Sacramento, right?
They beat Phoenix. I like them better than Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah.
I like them better than New Orleans.
But it's probably, if you parachute them into the Pacific Division, they're surely a well over 500 team, but they're not even tickling 50 wins, I don't think. It's just that conference cannibalizes itself. Look at even last year's standings and how many teams won 50 games. Golden State was really good. They barely won 51. There were 7 teams that ended up winning 50 games, and 49-33 Dallas squeaked in as the 8 seed. 48-34 Phoenix missed the playoffs in the 9 seed.
Now, Houston's overachieved a little bit, I think. They're 19-6. Are the Raptors, could they be what Houston is in the West?
I think it's...
Are they Houston good?
I think it's a comparable team, but what are we talking about, though? Is DeMar DeRozan's healthy all year?
Well...
Because okay, Houston's had a healthy Dwight Howard and a healthy James Harden, and yeah, they've been kicking it. They've looked really good. And the same as Memphis. Memphis is at all hands on deck. What a great week for Memphis, winning the 2 games they won against Golden State and San Antonio. I think you drop them in, and they're a team that struggles to make the playoffs. But like I said, it's going to take 47, 48 wins to make the playoffs in the West.
Brady and Walker, 6:35. At 6:42, yeah, the Ottawa Senators make Curtis Lazar available for the World Juniors. That's great. But he's one of, like, 9 possibilities that are all staying in the National Hockey League. How does this make us feel?
And is Saku Koivu to Montreal what Wendell Clark is to Toronto? We'll explore that at 6:50.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Always the best sports talk on Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, 6:43, December the 19th. So here we go. We're, less than a week away from Christmas Eve. We'll be doing shows next week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then much like you, we'll be off. Are you guys a Christmas Eve family, or are you a Christmas Day family?
I don't know
family?
What we'll do Christmas Eve. Probably just, watch movies and leave cookies and carrots out for Santa. You never know who's listening. The Santa stuff's really awkward. Did you ever have a chat with your dad or mom about Santa? Because I basically had a confrontation. I remember coming home in fourth grade, and I go,
In 11th grade?
Hey, you got answers, and I got questions, so sit down at the kitchen table. Let's have some cornflakes and let's talk about it. And I won't tell my sisters. I had two younger sisters. I go, your secrets are safe with me. I'm going to have a lot of secrets as a teenage boy. So you come to me now with your secret. Do you ever have that chit chat?
I don't remember. I remember the sex chat. I don't remember the Santa chat. Oh, yeah.
Who?
My dad is mortified.
Oh, see, my mom dominated that. No pun intended. Yeah, she dominated that stuff. She was bringing in books and there's nipples and hair everywhere, and I'm like, cartoon pictures, and I'm like, I don't need to see any of this stuff.
You know what I remember about it? I remember
I'm not going
that
tantric. I'm a teenager.
I remember in retrospect now how because I was the firstborn, how much pressure that my parents put on themselves. They probably dreaded this conversation for years.
Yeah,
and it was this big thing. Like it was this big ordeal where like. My dad, we went on this guy's trip, and we went and watched hockey and stayed in a hotel. And then the one afternoon, he kind of sat me down and says, I brought you here today to discuss this. And it was as a kid, I'm like, okay, gross, whatever.
He gave me the Friday morning six pack of what you need to know.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
With the music too, which is really weird that he would bring a boombox in and start playing music. I've had bad memories. About that. Because you can't be like, Mom, get out of the room. But I knew my dad. My dad was never going to utter. My dad just pretends that that no one's ever had sex. So there you go.
Our poll question today.
I may have been adopted.
Our poll question today. Will you be attending a game, the World Junior Tournament this year? Yes or no? You can go to sportsnet590.ca to vote. So
what's our answer? Our answer is we probably will.
Yes, I will be going. I do not have a ticket package.
You've already
I
been
will.
To a practice. You're the opposite of Allen Iverson.
That's true. Well, it wasn't a practice. It was the exhibition game against the CIS All-Stars or whatever. But, Curtis Lazar of the Ottawa Senators, who played in this tournament last year, was made available yesterday. And that's all great, and it's wonderful, and he's there, and, there's Anthony Duclair. The Rangers let him go. But I was thinking the other day, why has this tournament, I still like it, but I don't love it like I used to. And I don't know if it's just getting older and the romanticism of getting up on Boxing Day, when you're in high school to watch the tournament over in the Czech Republic, if that's gone a little bit. I don't know what the answer is. But I know one thing is it would certainly intrigue me more if we did have these eight studs playing in the National Hockey League at this tournament.
Yeah. And so we win five straight. We go through this has gone through peaks and valleys, right? Since about the late 90s where we don't win for 7 years, I think it was.
Yeah.
Then we win
and
for five
and
straight.
Right in the middle of that, Marc-Andre Fleury's putting in his own net. I mean, there was heartbreak in there.
Yeah, a lot of that. Yeah, but then the five wins, most of them were so decisive, and everybody remembers. Wouldn't you say the memories are the shootout against the States with Taves, and the big memories, the Eberle goal against the Russians in Ottawa,
and those were both semifinal games.
Right. So the finals, if anything. There's something weird about the finals that we've had. They've been anticlimactic, except for the one in Saskatchewan with the Carlson goal, because that would have been an unbelievably. I remember going to the Islanders Leafs that night, getting home, and there were people cheering in the suites. You can imagine an Islanders Leafs home game. All anybody's watching in the suites is Canada USA, but doesn't start till about the third period. So I get home and see the goal, and it's an unbelievably dramatic moment. That would have been, it's not Crosby, but in Vancouver, but I don't know.
It was pretty incredible.
I don't know. You're right. There's been, I'll be curious to see how it captures the city because everyone's
bitched and you know, dumped on Toronto and basically said, well, you won't even notice it here. But I'm already starting to notice signs, and I think people have made plans to go to games. It was a big deal when it was just across the border in Buffalo a few years ago. It was a huge deal. And that's another seminal memory, is us blowing the third period lead against Russia.
I think we've kind of been spoiled a little bit to extremes. And this is what I mean. I fall victim to this too, right? They went forever without winning. And like you said, there was the Marc-Andre Fleury play in there and these big losses, and we couldn't seem to get over the hump. We lost by one goal to Russia every year. And then we won five in a row. And people got a little bored with it, in the sense of, you know, we're the best and we're always going to win. But people forget the margin between winning and losing was so, so slim for Team Canada that it was actually amazing that they won five in a row.
100%. Exactly.
The Jonathan Toews shootout with Carey Price and Jordan Eberle. If Jordan Eberle doesn't tie the game with 2 seconds to go against Russia, they're playing for bronze. They're not even in the gold medal game. Matt Halyshuk scores in overtime in Sweden to win, or in the Czech Republic to beat Sweden in overtime. Otherwise, there's another silver medal. We got really spoiled thinking that this was going to be super easy to win every year. And now it's been a while since we've medaled, it feels like.
Yeah.
Let alone since we won gold.
Yeah, it'll feel weird because we've got about a week and a half of games in Toronto without Team Canada here, or without the Americans here. But are people going to come out and watch William Nylander play? Are they going to watch the Russians play? Because those two teams are right here. And fighting for seeding is pretty damn important when you get to the quarterfinals and semifinals.
650, Brady and Walker. Let's do best and worst.
Best, Johnny Walker.
And worst,
Andrew Walker.
Really, with Brady and Walker.
Both serve different purposes, I would say.
It's kind of unsolicited, kind of an unsolicited Walker bashing today. He's 650, best and worst. Best win, worst loss. Best player, worst player here on Brady and Walker. I got worst player. I'll let you take best player. What did you like last
night,
Brady?
Well, I'll give it to a guy in a losing effort. They ended up losing in overtime. Eric Fair got the winner. But there's something about the evolution of Nick Foligno. I'm wondering how Sens fans feel watching Nick Foligno. Nick Foligno's now 27 years old. It's not like he hasn't been around for a while. He's approaching 500 NHL games. But he's started to turn into a scorer. He had 18 and 70 games last year, had two last night plus the assist. So 16 goals in 30 games. I'll ask you, is he becoming elite? Is really tough to quantify, but is he becoming a very good to great NHL player? Are we early on that?
He's a very useful player. I'd like to ask Elliot Friedman about this at 7:20. But he's turned into a really nice player, and it's turned into a really nice deal for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Don't forget, they traded Mark Methot to the Ottawa Senators to get him.
He's a guy, okay, so he's born in the States. He's a guy that if Sochi's this year, you're kind of flirting with the idea if he could help your team. You never would have thought about it 12 months ago.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, worst player. I'm giving it to Marty Brodeur. Yeah, everyone wants him to succeed. I get it. But he gets to start last night for the St. Louis Blues against the LA Kings. They lose 6-4. He's in net for all six. 37 shots and 31 saves. I was watching the Leafs game last night, and now how you are with Jay Cutler, you're a bit of an apologist for him. I get it. I'm the same way with Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward is the most underrated netminder, even still, in the National Hockey League. I'm the St. Louis Blues. That's my guy right there. And I know he makes $6 million, so it's going to be a challenge to fit him in. But Cam Ward's a guy that if I'm a lot of teams,
yeah,
I have no qualms but going after that guy to get him.
Yeah, something we should talk more about, because we wonder, he's got another year in his deal. That's the anti-Ryan Miller from last year. But you wonder whether he is a commodity come late January, early February for teams that you're going to have an upgrade, or GMs or coaches are going to get fired. Worst loss, the Montreal Canadiens had a special night last night for Saku Koivu, and I understand it. I asked on Twitter, again, not innocently, I think, what does Saku Koivu mean? We don't ever think he was one of the best Canadian players ever, but it's being a captain. It's the overcoming cancer. It's the quality guy thing. He's Nicholas Lidstrom without being so exceptional at his position. But the Habs were kind of flat last night playing for him. And two things,
the air kind of went out of the sails when they lost Max Pacioretty. Really late hit in that game from Clayton Stoner. It's worth getting a look at. But they had three shots in the third period. Down 1-0 when you got to really bring it against the Ducks, and the Ducks kind of swarm you and swallow you up. But they didn't have it last night offensively.
Well, maybe the Ducks were passionately playing for Zach Koivu. He played for them, too. Yes. Maybe they rose to the occasion.
The Koivu Cup was won by the Ducks. All right, so best win.
I'll give it to the Golden State Warriors, the NBA's best team at 22-3. They gave up 40 points in the first quarter to Oklahoma City last night. Big game for Kevin Durant. But they roar back 34 for Steph Curry, 114-109. Over OKC.
Like, I'm already looking forward. That's a good one. I'm already looking forward to a couple of these Raptors late night games. I think we're off a few days after Christmas. And it's going to be fun to stay up, not have to get up and watch them play the Clippers, watch them play Golden State, watch them play even Portland.
You wish DeRozan was back for these, though.
What did I hear yesterday? Maybe by the time January 8th comes around when Charlotte's here, but yeah, you're going to play all these teams six games away, including Chicago next week without them.
6:54, Brady and Walker. It's 7:02. We'll get back in the Leafs game last night in Carolina. Yeah, no one's going to panic. No one's going to throw stuff overboard here, but are you intrigued with how this team is going to play on the road the next few weeks?